sigma. Wrong. Points in the X. Points on the wall, on the sheet. Okay. So that's the correlation function. It's defined only formally, but you can also really define, say, by discretizing or any other way. Or if you have just, if this is simply a quadratic expression in this field, like those without superpotential in a flat space or with quadratic superpotential, this can really be regarded as a Gaussian integral, and it's just a determinant of this operator that appears in the kinetic term of the action. Yes. Oh, yes, yes. It can be different, so I just put thinking. Okay. Now, I want to write down some property of this, of these correlation functions, and these are so-called word identities. And the first of all things is that if you consider a correlation function of Q commutator of anything, this is zero. Okay. This is actually true for any symmetry, even if this is not a, not this particular supersymmetry. For any symmetry that makes this, actually, that makes this action and weight invariant, then this holds. Okay. Is this okay? Maybe not. Okay. So this is the most important part, and at the same time perhaps most difficult part for some of you, but let me just still explain. Suppose you have, okay, let's consider this, regard this as if this is a finite dimensional integral under some space F, finite dimensional manifold, and suppose transformation T, that say diffeomorphism, okay. Now, what you know is T and also, and omega is volume form, some volume, some top form, so n-dimensional manifold, so n form. Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be. Sorry. well, it doesn't have to. I just don't want. Just some differential form. Okay. And the fundamental theorem is that as long as T is orientation, so oriented, no, it doesn't even have to be. No, it has to be. Sorry. Orientation preserving diffeomorphism, then you know this. Okay, this is something you know. Now suppose and regard omega to be say d mu e to the minus s and o. So this is some distinguished measure of the theory, of this finite dimensional theory, and this is the distinguished weight for the finite dimensional theory, and this is anything. And T is called a symmetry if T star of D mu e to the minus s is invariant. So in other words, usually T is a classical symmetry if S is invariant. But sometimes, even if this is invariant, this may not be. And if, in such a case, T star D mu is not the same as before, then this is T is called anomalous. And that is the thing that appeared in this axial R symmetry for KLM nonlinear sigma model whose target space is a KLM manifold which is not a Calabi-Yau. So the path integral measure is not invariant. But anyway, what we want is a quantum symmetry of the quantum theory, and this is simply stated by this just one word. The combination of path integral measure and e to the minus s into invariant. Okay? In some case, both e to the minus s and d mu is not invariant, but only the combination is invariant. And that's still our symmetry, although it's not coming from a classical symmetry. But anyway, this is the most important part. Now, I denote O of this theory if you have this. This integral I just denote by O, and this is just like this. Yes. No, suppose you have some distinguished measure and distinguished function, and then the rest. Well, okay. Specifying. Sorry, I'm doing it in a not ill-organized way. Specifying a theory corresponds to specify d mu e to the minus s, this factor. We usually call measure and weight factor from classical action because that's the way we are very much used to. This is just a choice. Choice of this means a choice of theory. Changing this is a change in the theory. Just like changing S, action changes the theory. Anyway, so what this identity means under this assumption that T is a symmetry means that T star of O is the same as O. If T is a symmetry. Okay. Now suppose T is a one parameter family of symmetries, and And let's write it like e to the minus I t q. Where q is the operator. Well, q is the infinitesimal. IQ is the infinitesimal transformation. So IQ is a vector field on F. Okay. Then, just taking the TD dt at t equal to 0 of this identity means what? IQ, and I just denote this action of this vector field just in this way, usually just like this way. Yes. Okay. So this is the word identity. Well, perhaps I should say that I write it in a way, in such a way that e to the I t q or e to the minus I t q. If I say things, say, denote it this way, then it's obvious that it's following. But anyway, what this means is this: the infinitesimal variation of the field. So this is the word identity. So in the supersymmetric case, you have this. So this is the explanation. Is this, are you happy with this? Yes. Yes. Right. That's right. Right. Yes, it's simpler, but we often use that notation. Yes, because there's a reason for saying this. Because if you formulate the theory in the Minkowski space, choosing the time and metric, flat metric, then this variation, as I said, this variation. Oh, I see. Maybe it's easier. Well, it's easier to say this. So this is nothing but this. But in the Minkowski space, if you quantize it, building the space of states and regarding fields as operator acting on it, then you can show that this is this. So that's why you usually write it this way. But what it really means is simply this. If you are used to using this language of operators, then this follows. This is the more natural way to state this. But maybe for you, for most of you, just leaving things like this is fine. Should be fine. Okay. So this is the first and most important word identity, and everything else follows. For example, maybe let me still use this O of X. I said just one, but it can be anything. This is there. In particular, this can be written as, inside it can be written as plus or minus, let's just write it. This phase comes when this is an odd operator. So on. So the sum of these, when inserted into this correlation function, is zero. Maybe let's just slide it. The same thing as this. Okay, and this tells us something important. Suppose O2 and O3 and so on, OS are all chiral, namely all commuting with Q. Then, so if O2, O3, OS are all chiral, namely Q commutes with Q, or in that language, invariant under delta, under that delta. Oh, by the way, this delta is not the full delta. This delta associated only with this Q plus bar, Q minus bar part. Then, then this second term, third term, and S term all vanish. So what you have is, for any O1, for any O of X, and O2 of X2, OXS vanishes. Okay, so that's another property. So that means that if OIs are all chiral, then this O1 X1 OS XS, so I 1 2 S are all chiral, this does not change under this shift of OI to OI plus any Q commutator lambda I, for any field lambda. Because if you have this, then using this you can always make it zero. The difference is always zero. Okay, in particular, I remind you that the space derivative, infinitesimal translation of OX, if OX is chiral, is Q commutator. Recall that this thing, Q commutator of, I forgot, maybe it was this, up to some constant, if O is chiral. Okay. So that means that this does not depend, if OIs are all chiral, this does not depend on the position, on the XI. And so these two things means that, yes? Huh? Oh, you mean this? This is Q, and this is Q plus minus, and I have used, this is this, and Jacobi identity. So this means that this O1X1 to OSXS, O1, OS mapped to this is defined a multilinear form on the chiral ring. The value doesn't change if you shift by Q exact operator, Q exact field, and also it doesn't depend on the position. Okay. But it may depend on the choice of this sigma, comma, H, choice of Riemann surface. Okay, but there's, in most cases, this actually, this metric dependence is also trivial in the following way, in the following sense. So in many cases, including Lambda-Ginzburg model, nonlinear sigma model, Kähler manifold, haven't checked the one for the generalized Kähler manifold, but at least these two cases, the so-called energy momentum tensor T mu nu is Q exact. Namely, this can be written as commutator of Q and some other things, G mu nu. And maybe this can be regarded, I should explain what energy momentum tensor is. The first way to characterize G mu nu is current, or maybe I should put T0 mu and T, oh, yes, in the Minkowski case, T1 mu are currents for this time translation and space translation, H and T. And in the Euclidean case, it's just a Euclidean translation. So this can be regarded as, this can be regarded as a local version of this identity I have just written, version of this Q commutate, H plus or minus T is Q commutator and Q plus minus. So H plus T is integration of T0 mu and T1 mu over spatial direction. And if you have this, obviously you have this. If you have this, you don't know. Maybe you have, it's natural to expect something like this, but you have to check. And for these cases, people have checked, written have checked. Okay. This is just an observation, but it has a significant effect. So the second way to characterize energy momentum tensor is the following. So if you have correlation function T mu nu, including energy momentum tensor, position X. Okay. That is defined as maybe. Oh, okay. Sorry. Let me erase this. So if you change metric, okay, then the variation of this correlation function is defined as the it can be written as maybe I may have forgot some number or sign. There's some number here. So that's another way to characterize energy momentum tensor in the quantum theory, in the path integral formula. And this is the way to characterize it in the operator formalism, and this is path integral formalism. Of course, you can derive this from this just by looking at the effect of translation using the Snedder procedure. But anyway, so this is a convenient way to characterize energy momentum tensor. And this has a significant effect if you have a twisted theory. This means, in a twisted theory, if all I's are all chiral, then does not depend on this metric H. Because if you change it, what you have is the insertion of this, but this is Q exact, and that annihilates the correlation function. So, under H to H plus delta H, this Q of something. Oh, sorry, this is delta. Delta. And this sign shift. Right. To right. Yes, that's true. Oh, okay. Oh, so this is literally. Field itself, yes. Yes, definitely, yes. And, right, yes. And this is the definition of energy momentum tensor, including the H dependence of those fields. Yes, yes. Yes. This is actually an important point, and this is indeed true. Okay. Okay, so this means that this, in other words, maybe I'm repeating the same thing again and again. This correlation function depends only on the topology of sigma. So this, of course, these must be all chiral. Depends only on topology of sigma.
Sir,
yes. Right. No, you can always connect. The space of metric, as all mathematicians know, is connected. Choose any metric, H1 and H2, and H1t, H1 plus 1 minus t, H2, HT, is also a metric. So it's always any two choice of metric can be connected. So suppose it is a positive definite. This is positive. Okay. Am I right? Yes. I hope so. Oh, yeah, right, convex, that's right. But what I said here is right. Okay, yes, convex. Okay, so in this sense, this theory, or this, well, theory of chiral fields is called topological field theory. Actually, you usually do not need to choose a spin structure because, as you have seen in examples, not usual. In these, at least in this Landau-Ginzburg nonlinear sigma model, we have seen that all fields are like scalars or 1,0 form or 0,1 form. You don't need to choose a spin structure. But you could imagine some case where some field, say some scalar field after twisting, happen to have odd MF and C value, odd quantum number under this Euclidean rotation, then it will have a spin. It does live in this spinor bundle, then you need to choose a spin structure. And then, yes, there's no reason why this must not depend on the spin structure. And I remember there are some examples like this with spin structure dependent correlation functions. I don't recall that, but harmonic. Oh. Why you say this? I don't know. Harmonic spinners on the Riemann surface? No, I don't. No, this is a number. It doesn't have to be an integer. So, as we will see, it's, yeah. So this is a very significant observation. Right. So suppose you have Riemann surface and chiral field, say genus 2, for example. You can deform the metric. For example, you can, say, pinch those cycles. For example, how do I do this? Pinch those cycles. Still have the same value. And sometimes, you can sometimes regard this, okay, maybe you can let this to be a very thin and long cycle. Then what you have here is, this is a bit too quick. As I will tell you, this only the ground state, or only the ground state runs, and what you can do is that separate this. And then you have these points, and you have some remnant of the fact that these was connected. And you can do this again and again. And you can eventually break this into, for example, let's do the following, these things next. That will make this, and then, yes, this, and there was a connected, and there was this. Okay, and then the fact that it was originally connected, and I will, it doesn't mean anything more. Sorry, I will write it later. Sorry, this is just a motivation. And you see that everything can be reduced to, oh, this is, let's do it once again here. And, oh, it's not okay. Oh, no, it wasn't okay. Anyway, everything can be reduced to sphere with at most three insertion points. And this can be rebuilt from this, as I will tell you in a moment. So, topological field theory on two dimensions is determined simply by this and this mysterious symbol here. And this, actually, this mysterious symbol can also be written in terms of this. And this is actually the same, almost the same information as the chiral ring, which I introduced in the second lecture. Okay. Okay, so let's choose a basis of the chiral ring. What I mean by chiral ring is the product rule in the chiral ring. So let's choose the basis. O alpha, say index set A, it's a finite set, say 1 to n or so, of chiral ring. A ring, basis as a vector space, Then let's just introduce the structure. So the product in the chiral ring is another, also expanded with respect to the basis. So it can be written as, so this is the structure constant. Now, let's denote C alpha beta gamma to be the sphere three-point function, precisely those things, on S2. I only denote the topology because it doesn't depend on the metric. So this is alpha, beta, gamma. And denote also eta, alpha, beta. And identity is an example of chiral operator, chiral field. So I just denote this special one by this. Now, let me observe that, so suppose OI are all chiral, and suppose you consider this product of and since this does not depend on the position, you can take the limit where x1 is approaching to x2. And this is the same as the product in this chiral ring of x2 and then x3 or x2. Yes. And you just use this thing in here. Say, take the product of O alpha and O beta. Then this C alpha beta gamma can be written as delta O delta C delta alpha beta O gamma sigma. And inserting identity doesn't do anything, so I should have said this is also the same as sphere two-point function O alpha O beta. And this is simply C delta alpha beta, and recalling this definition, it's just eta delta gamma. And you see that this structure constant is related to this sphere 2-point and 3-point functions. Examples, this eta alpha beta is a non-degenerate form. It's non-degenerate, namely, it's at an inverse, existence of an inverse. So that means that this chiral ring structure constant can be expressible in terms of this, in terms of sphere 2 and 3 point functions and their inverse. And also this symbol, what this symbol means is that it's the following. So if you consider this correlation function anything, even some genus, suppose you have this topology, or this topology, you can pinch it. Yes. You know what I mean. This correlation function on this Riemann surface is the same as this just detach and have the same thing here, and then alpha beta insertion, and then put this inverse of this two-point function, and sum over alpha and beta. And so this is so what this means is that really that sphere three-point function and using and the connecting using connection is written in terms of this inverse of this two-point function. So really this C alpha beta gamma determines everything. So the reason why this is true is maybe I should wait for the next time when I explain this relation of the ground states and the color ring elements when twisting is possible. And this also I forgot to say this. And you can also derive some simple identity. Suppose you start with this alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and do this pinching in two different ways. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta. This is the same as this, and this is also the same as this. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta. And this is expressed as C alpha delta kappa lambda C lambda beta gamma. And this is like C alpha beta kappa yeta kappa lambda C lambda delta gamma. This equality means that these are the same. And this, by raising this alpha index here by yeta, this can be written as alpha delta kappa and C kappa beta gamma is the same as C alpha beta kappa. And C, so this is kappa delta gamma. Okay. Yes. And what this means is that this is structure constant from a product done twice for O kappa and perhaps doing something like this. Suppose you take the product of okay, maybe. maybe let's write it this way and put it in here. I'll put this in here. Okay. So this is like a product of. So this is. First, take the product of gamma, delta, beta, and gamma. and then take the product with delta. And the second term is like, first take the product of delta and gamma, and then take the product with O beta. So this is simply, this relation of the two correlation functions is simply another way to express this associativity of this chiral ring. Product. And this simple looking expression is relation is actually sometimes very much powerful in determining this structure constant or this three-point functions. Not always, but in some special cases, very powerful in determining. So, so if you are interested in chiral ring, it's almost the same thing as determining this correlation function, or this of the twisted theory. Or knowing this will determine the chiral ring. So it's almost the same information as the chiral ring, except that there's this one more information. So some people have give name to this structure. It's something called Frobenius structure. It's a space with some product with and also associative product and also inner product metric. And so some people like to use this word, but what I wrote here is essentially the whole set of relations that appears in general. And it's interesting to compute all these things, and in this case, like Landau-Ginzburg models and nonlinear sigma models, actually, you can indeed compute it. Of course, it's sometimes technically difficult, but sometimes not. And this computation in the case of a twisted nonlinear sigma model is nothing but this determining this quantum cohomology ring. And maybe that has to be explained next time.
This A twist, the B twist, well, generalized the Taylor.
check, check, check.